10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at DecaturFMC.org.
Well, I have a couple of questions to start out this morning with, and I need your support on this. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you believe in these things, okay? First of all, raise your hand if you believe in the power of prayer. All right, I think we could look around, right? Keep your hand up. We could look around and see, oh, that's pretty much everybody, okay? Now let's get a little bit more real. Raise your hand if you think that you would say today, I should be praying more. Raise your hand if you think you should be praying more. Okay? Once again, that's mostly everybody. Today, we are moving in the direction of prayer. And for the next several weeks, we're going to talk about prayer. I remember when I was in college, I was going to a Cardinals game, which was big for this Cubs fan, but I was going with a big group, and so we were all going to a Cardinals game, and one of the reasons why I was really excited was because, you know, in college, there was a girl who came and said, hey, are you going? You want to come with me? And I was kind of excited about that. And especially at that time, my prayer was before that, I said, God, I pray that if this is your will, that you will maybe allow this to turn into something. And so I prayed that on our way. Well, while we were on our way, she had a couple of people with her, and I had a couple of guys with me, and so we were all going together. While we were on our way, she said, oh, I need to stop and do something really quick. And she stopped to pick up another guy. And I looked at God and I said, thank you for answering my prayer very quickly. And it turned out to be that this guy, they actually got married about 3 years later. This was one of their first dates that they went on. I think I helped with that. You believe in prayer? Do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you believe in the importance of prayer? There is a phrase, I said this a while ago, and I'm sure you remember because you remember every word that I say. There's a phrase that really hit me pretty hard. It came from my brother-in-law. One day he looked at me and he said, Paul, you know that you will only go as far spiritually as your prayer life will take you. I think there's truth to that statement. I think there's truth to that statement for each and every one of us. I think there's truth to that statement for us as a church. That we will only go as far spiritually as our prayer life will take us. It goes back to that phrase that you get out of it what you put into it, right? Almost like a relationship. The more you communicate with each other, the more that you talk to one another, the closer you get. When Tiffany and I first started dating, there was a couple of hours distance between us. And so we were on the phone all the time, constantly, just getting to know one another. Those hours on the phone really kind of built a lot of the foundation of our relationship because we got to know one another. If you want to get close with someone, communicate with them, talk with them, right? And that the same thing goes with God. If you want to get closer with God, it starts with prayer. And yet, this happens all the time when you say, well, yes, raise your hand if you believe in the power of prayer. I think every single hand was raised. I believe in the power of prayer. And then raise your hand if you think you should be praying more. And I think pretty much every one of our hands raised. Yeah. I should be praying more. So why don't we? What's our excuse? If you truly believe that you should be praying more, we need to pray more. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts. Now, we just got done looking at the beginning of Acts as we looked at the Holy Spirit. We're also going through the beginning parts of Acts right now in our Bible study on Wednesday night. If you are able to come and join us, we have some great discussion and really digging into his word. Come join us at 6:30 on Wednesdays as we are going through Acts. I believe that this week we're on Acts chapter 5. But we've been going through Acts. When we go through Acts, we look at, and we've been looking at the apostles. And also we've been looking at Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came in and filled them. This morning, what I want us to see is I want us to see how the church was basically founded on. This is the first church. This is how the church first started to exist. And I want us to see what was the main cause for the foundation of the church. Acts chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 14, and then we're going to jump around pretty quickly. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, this is right after Jesus ascended into heaven. We talked about that several weeks ago. Right after Jesus ascended into heaven, now the disciples are left on their own. And what do they do? Before, when Jesus was taken away to be crucified, the disciples scattered. They ran, they fled. Here they didn't do that. In verse 14, right after he ascended into heaven, this is what they did. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I love the word, and I think it's an important word there, the word constantly. They were constant in their prayer. We don't have this vision that, oh, Jesus ascended, and so they all looked at each other and said, oh, what should we do? Let's have a moment of prayer. Let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya. No, this was a constant prayer, right? That they gathered together constantly in prayer, that we kind of have this feeling that this prayer lasted for days upon days. We know that there were 10 days between when Jesus ascended into heaven and when the Holy Spirit came. We would believe that in those 10 days, guess what they did? They prayed. They were constantly in prayer. They continued to pray and to be with each other. This is an important piece. People, because we don't know this for sure, but I wonder if Pentecost would even happen if it wasn't for the constant prayer that happened before. I wonder if the church, their church that they were building, all of the people that were gathering together, all of the believers that received his message, all of the believers that came and were baptized, I'm wondering if that would have happened if it wasn't for their prayer. They had leaders that were built on prayer. And I'm with you. I raised my hand too. I'm with you. I agree. I think I should be praying more. We need to be a church. We need to be a people. We need to be a family that prays. Amen? You will only go as far spiritually as your prayer life will take you. So we see them do that in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And then move to, with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is right after Pentecost happened. And then after Pentecost happened, all of these people flooded the place from the community to hear because they saw what was happening. They came to check it out. They came to see. And so all these people were flooding the place. Some of them were amazed and in awe. Other people were kind of making fun of them. Oh, you guys, you're just drunk. And Peter steps out in faith and he speaks to all of these people who came. And he tells them specifically what this is. And he says, this, people, I want you to understand, this is the power of God. This is Jesus. Remember the same one who rose from the dead 2 months ago. This is he. Remember the one that you killed? That you shouted out, crucify him. This is him. And it says right after that, in verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Whoa, talking about a church service. Power. But look at what happens right after that. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of the bread. Everyone was filled, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. So they all came together and it said, and again, here's another key word. The word is devoted. They were devoted to these things. What are these things? The first thing it says, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. What was the apostles' teaching? Guess what? They were devoted to the word of God. Because the apostles spoke his truth. They spoke his word. And so it said that these people were devoted to his word. They were devoted of studying it, of getting to know it. Are you devoted to the word of God? Are you studying his word every day? Are you diving into it? This is truly what I believe that church should be like. Monday through Saturday, each and every one of us have our Bibles open and we are studying his word. Monday through Saturday. We are studying his word. We're getting excited. It's filling us up. It's pumping us up. We can't get enough of God. We can't get enough of his word. We can't get enough of studying his word. And then we can't wait for Sunday to happen because we now get to do this with other people who are also studying his word throughout the week, who can't wait to come together and to proclaim his name and to sing out his choruses and to hear his word and to pray with one another. And so when we come together on Sunday, we come with an excitement because of all the stuff we've been reading Monday through Saturday. And we come with this excitement of his word. And we all come together and we pray, sing praises to him together. We are excited. There is power going on in the church service. That's how church is like, right? I don't hear any amens. But that's what it should be. That we are going throughout the week, spending time in his word, being devoted in his word to his teaching. And it empowers us. It motivates us to come together and to worship with one another. So it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God, and to fellowship. Why? Because they liked one another. And now remember, they didn't have everything in common. These are people from different areas. We even saw during Pentecost, these are even people that spoke in different languages. They didn't have everything in common, but guess what? They had in common Jesus. And that was enough. And so they came together constantly in fellowship. They were devoted in fellowship, and they were devoted in breaking of the bread, which we know is fellowship, right? If we want to bring people together, let's bring food in. It brings fellowship. And we have the sense that these people here, as they started church, this church, these people would do this constantly, maybe even daily, where they would invite people over. Yeah, we're going over to Bill's house today. And we're going to study his word today. We're going to have a meal together today, and we're going to pray together. And this was an everyday thing. They were devoted to this constantly in prayer. They were people that wanted to be together. They wanted to break bread together. Now, I think that we do this pretty well. I know for me and for our family, when we moved in here, which is almost about a year ago now, we felt nothing but love. And people reaching out to us and saying, come on over to our house. Let's break bread together and get to know one another. That's important for a church, people. When was the last time you had someone over at your house? Maybe for some of you, it's often. Maybe for others, you could say, oh, I don't know, it's been a while. If there's a person that maybe you don't know very well in the church, guess what? Get to know them. Invite them over. Eat together. Have fellowship together. They were devoted in his word. They were devoted to fellowship and to breaking bread. And they were devoted to prayer. Once again, they constantly prayed together. And then if you go over to Acts chapter 4, verse 24, we're going to see the same type of thing. Now, this is happening. What's happening right before this is Peter and John went out. They saw this lame beggar on the side of the road. And they reached out to this lame beggar. And they said, I don't have any money, but one thing I do have is I have the power of the Holy Spirit to heal you. Now get up and walk. And this old lame beggar, who many people in that community knew because they saw him every day on that same street corner begging for money. This lame beggar gets up and he was instantly healed. Now, this was a miraculous healing. The word started to spread around the people. It even made the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, angry because they said, well, this is why we killed Jesus to begin with. We don't want people to go around and proclaim the name of Jesus. And so they asked for Peter and John and they threw them into jail. And while they were in jail, they were talking to one another, the Sanhedrin. They were saying, there's nothing that we can do. But all of these other people are proclaiming his name. People are excited of what Jesus is doing because of this man who was healed in front of our eyes. And so what they did was they were very stern with them and they said to Peter and John, you never proclaim the name of Jesus again. So guess what they did? We see it here in 4 verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So when they came back together, they didn't make this uprise and get people all offended and angry of what the Sanhedrin did. And yeah, we got to go get them. They didn't do that. They got together and they prayed. Have you ever been offended before? Has someone told you some hard news before? What do you do with that? Come together in prayer. And their prayer is, God, help us. And God, if this is your will, I pray that the name of Jesus will even be more bolder than before. And then we see in verse 31, right after that, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That's prayer, people. The importance of prayer. So where did they learn this from? Now the apostles, they're on their own. Where do you think they learned this from? Jesus. Jesus was their example. Jesus himself was devoted to prayer. If you don't believe me, I want to read to you a bunch of different verses, and it's going to be kind of a shotgun. I'm going to read it one after another, okay? Matthew 14:23. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. Mark 6:46. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. Luke 6:12. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Luke 5:16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Luke 9:18. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, who do the people say that I am? Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Luke 11:1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. There you go. There's 10 verses right there of Jesus going out and praying. Jesus was devoted to prayer. And even to a point where the disciples saw Jesus praying and they said, "Will you teach us how to pray? I haven't seen anyone pray like you've prayed before. All the other people I've seen pray, they kind of just have their offerings out to the Lord. But when you pray, you have this intimate relationship. You pray to your Abba Father. Teach us how to do that." And for 3 years, the disciples saw a man who went out to pray constantly for 3 years. And guess what? Now that Jesus is gone, his legacy lives on. They were devoted to prayer. Jesus was our example. We find so many today, though, who are like the disciples and who don't even know how to pray. But how do we pray? What do we do? What do we say? Sometimes I would like to say, it's like if you are sitting right next to a close friend. Talk with him like you would talk to a close friend. For some, I would even suggest, if it helps you, have an open chair in front of you and pretend like God is sitting right there. Be real with him. Talk with him. He is there. He is listening. So how do we pray? Very quickly, as we close, I just want to give you a couple of things to remember while you pray. The first thing, we need to remember to pray in faith when we pray. Pray in faith. Matthew 21:21. "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Pray in faith. As we said in our time of prayer, when we pray, we're not just praying to anyone that's out there. We're praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're praying to the All-Powerful. We're praying to the one who have raised people from the dead. We're praying to the one who have healed the sick and who have brought sight to the blind. We're not just praying to anybody. So pray with faith. Have faith in your prayer. And when we pray, remember, God always answers us. And I believe that he answers us in three different ways. Yes, no, and not right now. As a dad, I know how this is. Here are just something in the last year that this really happened. Child came to me and said, "Daddy, can we play a game?" "Yeah, that would be fun. Let's do it." Another time, "Daddy, can I have soda before I go to bed?" "No, no, you cannot. That's not good for you." This just happened this winter. "Daddy, can we go swimming?" "No, we cannot. It's cold outside. Wait till later." You see, I answered all of my kids. Yes, no, not right now, maybe later. The key is when God answers us with a no or not right now, wait till later. We need to have faith that his will is better than ours. Because so often we get to this point where we are praying for what we want and in the timing that we want it. Have you ever been there? We all have. And so many people, I actually just had a conversation with someone a couple of weeks ago, where this person came to me. He actually texted me and he said, "I feel like God isn't there and not listening to me." And I started talking to him a little bit. And it basically got down to it where, well, he just kind of told me no, though. Well, he's listening to you. He just thought that wasn't the best for you right now. So pray in faith. Second one, pray in his name. Do you know there is power in the name of Jesus? I think we got to do that again for some of those who are maybe falling asleep. Do you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Oh, there we go. There's power in his name. John 16, 24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and it will be, and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Ask in the name of Jesus because there's power in his name. Right after I graduated high school and the first church that I went to, I was the youth pastor there. It was the first time that I had the pastoral prayer. And after the pastoral prayer, there was a older retired pastor that came up to me and shook my hand and said, "That was a good prayer, but you didn't do it right." What? What do you mean I didn't do it right? How did you end your prayer, son? Well, how I always end my prayer. In your name, amen. Do you see that there's something missing there? No, I don't. Don't be afraid to say the name of Jesus because there's power in his name. And you skipped over his name. You mentioned it. Oh, yeah, we're going to pray in that name. No, just make a little tweak and say, "In the name of Jesus, we pray." Amen. I've always remembered that. Why? Because there's power in prayer. When you pray, pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in faith. Pray in his name. Third one, pray humbly. Pray humbly. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 through 14. It talks about two different types of people who prayed. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." When we look at this, it talks to us about two different men. I think some of us might be praying like the Pharisee. Maybe not as bad as that. But our prayers are very much like that, where we look at everybody else and say, "Oh yeah, God, I'm a pretty good person. Look at all the things that I've done. I'm better than so-and-so and this other person. Look at me. Our prayers are about me." Do you know there's a wrong way to pray? That is the wrong way to pray. When Jesus teaches us how to pray, it has nothing to do about you. It has everything to do about him. When we pray, we don't pray what we want. We pray what he wants in us. So pray, when you pray, pray humbly. Pray fervently. Never stop. Never give up. Maybe some of you are here and you've been praying for a situation for a long, long time. And maybe for some, you've even said, I'm not going to pray anymore. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop. You see, when we stop praying, we start losing hope. There's hope in prayer. There's hope in the name of Jesus. Pray fervently. Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Don't ever give up praying. So pray in faith. Pray in his name. Pray humbly. Pray fervently. And the last thing, ask when you pray. You see, he's your daddy and he wants to bless you. He loves you so much. He wants good things for you. And so ask. But don't allow your prayers just to be things where we are just asking. No, that's not a good prayer. Where we are just saying, I want this, give me this. You start with prayer by proclaiming his name, by spending time with him, by looking at your own heart and confessing. And then you ask. And another important thing about prayer is always remember to pause and to listen, because God is speaking. Allow him to speak to you. So ask when you pray. He is a good, good father that wants to bless you, that wants good things for you. Church, we need to be a church that is devoted to prayer. We need to be families. No matter how your family is, if it's a family of one or if it's a family of ten, we need to be families that are devoted to prayer. May we be people that are constantly coming together, meeting together every day. May we be a church that are devoted to his teaching, to his word, that are devoted to fellowship, and that are devoted to prayer. We will only go as far as our prayer life will take us. I want to invite you on Sunday evenings. This evening, on Sunday evenings, we have a prayer service that meets. And lately, I think this has only been going on for the last 2 or 3 months after we finished the book study that we are doing. We are focusing specifically on prayer. And I want to invite you to come and to join us. It's on Sundays at 6 p.m. We meet for about an hour or so, or however the Spirit leads. We sing a couple of songs, and then we have different forms of prayer. We pray for the church. We pray for our area and our city. We pray for families. And we pray for specific situations. There are times when someone asks for prayer and we stop and we lay hands on them and pray for them. Why? Because we believe in the power of that. The Bible tells us when someone is in need for the elders to come and to lay hands and to pray. And so I encourage you to come and join us on Sunday evenings and pray as we pray together. And specifically, if you have a need, come and join us and let us pray for you. We need to be a church that prays and allow yourself to be devoted to his word and to prayer every day. Will you pray with me? God, forgive us. Forgive us for being distracted or maybe too busy, where we just haven't prayed enough. Help us to be a church that's devoted in prayer. As we pray, help us to get to know you more. Help us to communicate with you. Help us to listen to your voice. Be with us, Lord, as we focus on prayer in this time leading up. Lord, may each and every one of us be focused and find a time in our day that would be good where it's just me and you, where we can just stop and dive into your word and to be devoted in prayer. We love you, God. We love you so much. And we just want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we